One of the challenges of Purim is that sometimes we become so busy that we almost miss the main point. So tonight I want to share with you what I think in many ways is really the main point of Purim. It's something that we've been thinking a lot about in light of recent events, and that is the need to daven. I think in today's Daf Yomi it said that when Yisurin come a person's way, so the proper approach is to keep quiet and to just keep davening. There's only so much that a person could say in terms of talking about it to one another, but there's always more to talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu about things. And because Purim becomes such a busy day, we're so busy running around, delivering Mishloach Manos and spending time at the Suda, that it's almost a trick of the Yetzirah to stop us from using it as the remarkable day of Tefillah that it is. If we know from the Zohar that Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim, so we wouldn't think of doing basically anything other than davening on Yom Kippur. So if Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim, and Purim is in fact even greater on a certain level, then that means the whole essence of Purim is a day of Tefillah. And that's what I want to try to develop tonight. Why do we read the Megillah? What is the lesson of the Megillah? And you'll tell me there are many, many lessons of the Megillah. But the Rambam, when he introduces the mitzvos, he's giving a running list of the mitzvos, sort of his akdama to the Mishnah Torah. After describing very, very bekitzer the 613 mitzvos, the Rambam says, you know, there's other things that we do also. Gezeros and takanos of the rabbis. For example, Kriyas HaMegillah. And the Rambam writes in the first source, in the third line, middle of the line, Alakachanu Omrim, what are we to make of the gezeros and the takanos? How do we understand? Is it adding on to the Torah? You can't add on to the Torah. So what is it? He says, rather, what it is, Alakachanu Omrim. Shanavim embased in Tiknu Vitzivu Likros Hamagilla Baonasa Kidela Hazkir Shvachav Shalakadish Barhu. The reason that Chazal decreed that we read the Megillah in its time is to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to mention the praises of Hashem. Vitchuos Sha'asalanu. And the Megillah is to remind us of the salvation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about for us. Vahayakarov Lashava Seinu. And that Hashem actually listens to us. That Hashem is close by when we call out to Him. That Hashem hears our cries. Kedei levarcho ulahalolo. V'kedei lo'odil ledoros habayim she'emes ma shehivtichanu b'Torah. That that which the Torah says is true. What specific thing that the Torah says is true? The pasuk in Va'aschanan. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krov v'meilav ka'ashem elokeinu b'chol kar'inu elav. The Megillah, more than anything else, is coming to declare Hashem listens when we talk to Him. Hashem is close to us. Mi goy gadol, what other nation has a God that is so accessible, that is so available, that is so responsive to our prayers, to our cries? So says the Rambam, reading the Megillah proves that this pasuk in Chumash Devarim is true. So I'll ask you two questions. Number one, why do I need to prove a pasuk in Chumash? I need to prove it. All of a sudden now we're in the business of proving Pesukim. Let's prove the rest of the Torah while we're at it as well. And second of all, how does this Kriyas HaMegillah, more than anything else, more than any other tzara followed by a tefillah in history, what is it about the story of Purim that Dafka says the Rambam, Kriyas HaMegillah, oh, the Purim story? That really proves that Hashem listens to our tefillahs. There's a lot of times we daven. There's a lot of times there was a tzara. There are a lot of times that our tefillos were answered. So what is it, Dafka, about the Purim story that the Rambam feels is the ultimate proof of Mi Goy Gadol? What other great nation is Zoycha to have a God that's so close and so responsive as Hashem is to Klal Yisrael? Now the Rambam didn't get this pasuk on his own. The Rambam presumably picked up this pasuk from the Gemara. Because the Gemara has how different Tanayim used to begin their drasha on Purim. The Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph has many examples of Pasach la Pischa lahai parshasa mehacha. That the following rabbi began his Purim drasha with this introduction or that introduction. And different tzaddikim, different tanaim brought different psukim by which they would introduce the Megillah. The Gemara tells us in source number 2, Rav Masna used to introduce Purim with this pasuk. This is the pasuk that captures Purim. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krov emelav. Presumably that's where the Rambam got it from, but there are many other examples of other rabbis who had other psukim that they picked as the pasuk to introduce the Megillah. So what is it about this one? What is it about this expression of Migoy Gadol Asher Lo Elokim Krov Milav? What is it about Tefillah that becomes so central to the Purim story? And really, by extension, this is the proof to Tefillah in general. Says the Maharal in his commentary, the Or Chadash on Megillas Esther. He quotes that teaching of Rav Masna that we just read in source number 2. And he says, what does it mean? What was Rav Masna saying with this pasuk? Ratzo lomar ki atzalis Yisrael b'gu'ula zeh hayi mikoach ha-tefillah. The salvation of the Jewish people, it's very clear, says the Maharal, what Rav Masna is telling us. The only reason we were saved was not because of political connections, it was because of our tefillah. Shayu govern b'zeh ala malik b'tefillah. Because when Esav and Amalek, the grandson of Esav, right, and Amalek the nation, the descendants of Amalek the person, come at you and they're ready to fight, and David Melech was a fierce warrior and led Klai Yisrael out to war, but it's clear throughout our history that our main weapon is tefillah. We also have to pretend to go out to the battlefields, but the Maisa, it's the koach ha-tefillah, which is our weapon. So when Esav, when Amalek comes to attack, we fight back with tefillah. Kedichsiv hakol kol Yaakov ha-yadayim iti Esav. Esav fights with his hands, and we fight with our voice. Ki im ein kol kol Yaakov ha-yadayim iti Esav. Aval im kol kol Yaakov ein sholtin yaday Esav. If we're able to use our voice, then Esav doesn't have his hands. But if, God forbid, we don't use our voice, then Esav has his hands. What do we know about Amalek? What does it say in Parshas Bishalach? Ki yad al keska. Amalek is described strangely in the Chumash as placing their hand on the throne of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, on Hashem's kisei. Ki yad al keska. But that's only when we're not davening. When we use the kol kol Yaakov, that's how we destroy, and that's how we get rid of Amalek and Esav. That's how we block, so to speak, the Yadayim Yidei Esav. It's interesting, I realized today that the gematria of Hakol Kol Yaakov, what's the gematria of Hakol Kol Yaakov? So the first kol is spelled chaser in the Torah. It's spelled without a vav. So it's hey kof lamed. So Hakol is 135. Kol, the second kol is spelled regular, kof vav lamed. So 135 plus 136. And Yaakov is 182. Hakol Kol Yaakov is 453. Is gematria timcha, which is exactly the avoda of destroying Amalek. Timcha, zecher Amalek. Right? That's our avodah. Destroy Amalek. Get rid of Amalek. How do we do it? What weapon should we use? The answer is very simple. Hakol Kol Yaakov. When we have the Kol Kol Yaakov, then there's no Yadayim Yidei Esav. V'dvarim elu yiduim b'chachma eich Kol Yaakov menatzeach es Amalek. So says the Maharal, it's understood to those of us who understand Jewish thought very clearly how it is that tefillah is always the weapon that we use against Amalek. Let's go back to the original fight against Amalek. Let's go back to Parshas Bishalach, says the Maharal. Kasher Gavru Yedei Moshe B'Tfilaso. Interesting, Moshe is standing there in Parshas Bishalach davening with his hands outstretched. Interesting, why is he using his hands in tefillah? You know what I think the image is? It's Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Hashem, take my hands, I don't want my hands. My hands are yours. As opposed to a Amalek who tries to use his hands to control, to take, to fight. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, in a moment of prayer, gives away his hands. Whereas the Pasuk says, Vayihi Yadav Emuna, he turned his hands into faith. He turned his hands into prayer. So when Moshe's hands are up, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, that's what the Maharal is referring to, we won the battle. V'kasher Yaniach, and when Moshe's hands were down, V'lohaya Kol Kol Yaakov, when we stopped davening, V'gavar Amalek, then Amalek wins. V'kach b'targumo, and if you look in the Targum Yonasan, it says on the words Kasher Yarim Moshe, it says Kasher Yarim Yado Bitzaloi. Like Tiskabel Tzolaoson. Like we say in Kaddish, Hashem, accept my Tzaloi, accept my Tfilos. Moshe's hands were hands of Tfila. But Kasher Yaniach, but when Moshe put down his hands, Amalek would win the battle. Vare Lecha, so it's very clear to us as Mara. Ki Atfila Hu Nitzachon Shel Amalek. The way, the very way by which we become victorious over Amalek is through the koach ha-tefillah. V'zehu inyan ha-megillah, says the Maharal, this is what the Megillah is all about. The Megillah is a tefillah, as we'll explain. Kasher tavina dvarim amukim ma'od. And when you understand this, and when you contemplate this, right, you'll realize this is actually a very deep thing. So the whole story of Yaakov and Esav is a fight of tefillah versus a person, a fierce warrior, Esav, who fights with his hands. The story of Moshe versus Amalek, again, is Moshe giving his hands to Hashem? It's Moshe Rabbeinu raising up his voice with that hopeful cry versus, again, the brute force, the Yadayim Yudei Esav, that world of Amalek. There's a Maimer Chazal that says that on Purim, Kol HaPoshet Yad Nostim Lo, which literally means that all year round, if someone comes collecting tzedakah, someone knocks on your door, and they say tzedakah, you're allowed to ask a few questions. You're allowed to inquire, who are you? How do I know that you're authentic? How do I know that you're claiming you're collecting for this cause? How do I know you're not pocketing the money? Right? We hope that most people are honest. Some are not. Right? And you're allowed to ask a few questions. It's perfectly acceptable to do your due diligence. However, on Purim, Kol HaPoshet Yad, anyone who extends their hand, Nostan Lo, we give right away. We don't ask questions on Purim. We give tzedakah much more generously on Purim. But I was thinking, Kol HaPoshet Yad. You know, they say that when a baby comes to this world, a child's hands are clenched. And when a person leaves this world, right, your hands are open. They say the idea is that when we're young, you know, we're trying to hold on to everything. As we get older, we realize we can't take that much with us. So Kol HaPoshet Yad actually means anyone who opens their hand, anyone who extends their hand. It's the realization that I'm not in that world of Esau, of the clenched fists, of trying to hold on to everything. Kol HaPoshet Yad on Purim, you know what the avodah is? To be Poshet Yad. To realize that, Hashem, anything I have is from you. I'm not going to try to hold on to anything. Anything you want to take back is really yours. So Kol HaPoshet Yad, the person who has the maturity, not to be like the child who's first born, a baby with clenched fists, trying to be a taker as a child is, not able to really give to others. It just takes from its parents. But as we get older, the goal is to open our hands. Kol HaPoshet Yad, anyone who opens their hands on Purim, that means you really understand how to conquer Yadayim Yedei Esav. And then Nostin Lo. Then Hashem says, such a person I'm going to give. I'm going to reward such a person. Because this person understands, again, the avoda and the connection that we have to have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing is mine. It's all tefillah. It's all emunah. And that's what the Maharal says is the story of Purim. That's the story of Yaakov and Esav. That's the story of Moshe and Amalek. This Monday will be Tanis Esther, Mirz Hashem. And Tanis Esther is a little bit of an anomaly. Because typically, we don't fast before a holiday. What do I mean by that? The Rush, in Meseches Tanis, in source number 4, the Rush tells us, U'mashinagu l'sanos b'shlosha asar ba'adar. That which we fast on the 13th of Adar is a little bit strange. V'hu yom shalifnei Purim, it's the day before Purim. Well, what's wrong with fasting the day before Purim? Says the Rush, V'chanaka u'purim lo batlu. Because we had a book once upon a time called Megillas Tanis. It highlighted all of these minor holidays that took place throughout the calendar year. That you're not allowed to fast on those days because of something good that happened to the Jewish people. Eventually, Megillas Tanis was made batel, with a few exceptions. There are some very significant holidays that emerge from Megillas Tanis, and we still keep them. And they are Chanukah, Purim. So it says in Megillas Tanis that not only do you celebrate these days by not fasting on these days, you shouldn't fast the day before, but we do fast the day before Purim. So how can we fast the day before Purim? It seems to take away from the joyous nature of Purim. Says the Rush in Meseches Tanis, two answers. In his second answer, in the third line, he says, Va'od zman kihila l'cholhi. You have to understand what Tanis Esther is. What are we commemorating on Tanis Esther? We're reliving, we're re-experiencing how Klal Yisrael got together in preparation for Esther, risking her life to go before the Melech Achashverosh. Shinekalu va'omdu al nafsham l'milchama. And not only that, when the Jews actually went out to battle on the 13th of Adar, at the end of the Purim story, when they fought for their lives, when they defended themselves against their enemies, they were fasting and davening on the battlefield. U'bikshu rachamim, they were davening, they were fasting, Vegam hu me'ikar hanes. And therefore the fasting is somewhat commemorative of the miracle itself. It was that fasting and davening that the Jews did on the battlefield that actually brought about the salvation. So what we're learning is that tefillah actually was so much a part of how Klal Yisrael survived. The Gemara says we read the Megillah at night, we read it again by day. It's an obligation for both men and women. Minhag Ashkenaz, we say Shechianu based on Tosfos, we say Shechianu at night, we say Shechianu again during the day. Rashi writes in Maseches Megillah in source number 5, on that Gemara, we read it at night, u'lishnosa bayom, and we read it again by day, says Rashi, zecher l'nes. We do it at day, we do it at night, that's to commemorate the nes. Why? What about night and day is commemorative that we're expressing through the Megillah? Says Rashi, because the Jews were crying and screaming and davening day and night. So the very nace itself, in the time of oppression, the Jewish people were davening around the clock. And therefore, that's what we have to try to do on Purim. I know it's hard. There's a lot of other things that happen on Purim. But make sure that davening is central to your Purim. Don't forget to daven. And davening doesn't have to be in the form of sitting with a sitter. Davening can be just talking to Hashem throughout the day. Nichnas yayin yatsa sod, when a person drinks wine, so it allows a person to speak more freely. So talk to Hashem. Share the worries of your heart. Share the secrets of your heart. Share the desires of your heart with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to allow yourself to tap into the nace that was through the koach HaTfilah. Continues the Maharal in source number 6 in his Hakdama. The Maharal says that the nace be yamei haman haye b'shvil shahashem yizbarach shama tfilasam. Again, the Maharal wants us to know it very, very well and very clearly, that the miracle and the victory over Haman came solely through the tfilos of Klal Yisrael. V'alzeh sovev kol ha-mizmor shel ayeles ha-shachar. We have a special kapitel Tehillim. Tehillim chapter 22, which is added to the Shir Shel Yom of Purim. The tefillah, the mizmor of ayeles ha-shachar, which is Esther. And what is that tefillah about? It's Esther davening, it's crying out to Hashem. It's David HaMelech expressing in the voice of Esther HaMalka her fear, her anxiety, beseeching Hashem as she's about to go to the Melech HaChashverosh. And therefore says the Maharal, look at this, V'lo haya ge'ula she'igiyu Yisrael litzara. There never was a redemption from a difficulty. V'zaku el Hashem Yisbarach, where we cried out to Hashem. V'shama Hashem tfilasam, and Hashem answered and heard their tfilos. Kamozos. There's nothing that compares to the Purim. In terms of crying out to Hashem, the amount that they were crying out to Hashem, the depth with which they were crying out to Hashem, all of that took place through Purim. That tefillah is what made the miracle happen. But I'll ask you a question. When was the tefillah taking place? When did the tefillos primarily take place? So you'll say, well, let's think about it. Esther is petitioned by Mordechai in the fourth parak to go to Achashverosh. Put your life on the line. Esther says, I'll do it if you fast and you daven for me. Okay. So they fast and daven for Esther, and things work out okay. But the truth is, the salvation of Klal Yisrael took place a year later. It was almost a full year later. That took place in Chodesh Nisan. A year later, almost a full year later in Chodesh Adar, the Jews defended their lives. So it seems like tefillah actually is very much limited to a particular scene, and again, a critical scene, a turning point in the Megillah. It gets Haman out of the way, but the Jews are not yet safe. The decree of Achashverosh is still out there. The decree of Haman is still out there. It's only a year later that they actually finally achieve their salvation. But if you understand and if you pay attention to the story, you realize it's not just those couple of days the Jews fasted for Esther. And it's not just that fast, or perhaps those tefillos that they davened on the battlefield when Yud Gimel Adar finally rolled around. The Jewish people became, and it's expressed more than anything through the leaders of the Jewish people, their whole being throughout the entire Purim story was an experience of tefillah. Let me explain what I mean. Mordechai's name, as described by the Megillah, is Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. Mordechai, Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. Mordechai was a tzaddik. Mordechai was part of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. But if you had to capture the essence of Mordechai's Sidkus, it's one word, it's tefillah. The Gemara says everything we know about Mordechai's name, and a person's name is their essence, as the Gemara tells us in Brachos. Everything we know about Mordechai, his whole being. If we study the characters in the Megillah, we study Mordechai, we study Esther, we find that their whole being is tefillah. Says the Gemara in describing Mordechai's very name, the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Beis, Tana, Kulan al Shemo Nikro. Everything about Mordechai's name is revealing something to us. He's Mordechai ben Yair. What does Yair mean? Yair is a lashon of illumination. So maybe you'll say he was illuminated in his Torah study. No, that's not what the Gemara says. Ben Yair, ben Sheheir Einayim Shel Yisrael B'Tfilaso. Mordechai's illumination was his ability to light people up, to light up Jews with his tefillah. Ben Shimi. Ben Shimi, a listener. Listening to what? Maybe you'll say, oh, Mordechai was good at giving advice. People came to him with their problems. Mordechai would be a good listener, and he would be able to help people by giving them advice. Maybe that's so. He got Hashem to listen. That's why he's called Ben Shimi. Ben Kish. What does Ben Kish mean? Says the Gemara, Shehikish al Shari Rachmim, that he was hikish, he was banging on the gates of heaven, v'niftechulo, and he was able to get the gates open. So everything about Mordechai is what? Is tefila and more tefila and more tefila. The Vilna Gaon says, how do we interact with the world? How do we experience the world? Obviously through our senses. We have our eyes, we have our ears, we have our mouth. The Vilna Gaon points out something remarkable. Look how our senses are used to experience Torah and tefillah. The Vilna Gaon says, you know what this Gemara is hinting to? When the Gemara says that Mordechai is Ya'ir, tefillah, Shimi, tefillah, Kish, tefillah, says the Vilna Gaon, in source number 8, the Vilna Gaon's commentary on Megillas Esther, he writes in the middle of that first line, V'nira mipnei sheba'adam yesh arba chushim. There are four primary senses by which we interact with the world. Re'iya, we see. Shmiya, we hear. Reach, we smell. Dibor, we speak. V'hagimel hu b'limud Torah. Three out of four we use very regularly in the process of Torah study. Re'iya, we use our eyes, hu liros Torah shebichsav, to see the written Torah. Shmiya, we use our ears, lishmoa Torah sheba'al peh, to hear the oral Torah. Dibor, part and parcel of studying Torah is also what? Is sharing your Torah with others, teaching Torah. L'mod amanas l'lamed, you have to teach it to others. So how do I teach it to others? Speaking, dibor, is l'lamed l'acherim. But says the Vilna Gaon, such an amazing insight, we don't use our nose really in Torah. We don't use l'chush ha-reyach, we don't smell Torah. So what does it mean? So what exactly is the role of the sense of smell in the context of spiritual pursuits? And the Vilna Gaon says it's very easy. Just study a little Torah and you'll see for yourself. It's tefillah. Reach is tefillah. Smell has to do with tefillah. The Vilna Gaon says, Reach eino tzarech klal Torah. We don't use our nose, we don't use our sense of scent when it comes to Torah. Elahu bechinas ha-tefillah. But smell has a lot to do with tefillah. As the Pasuk says, Yishei reach nichoach ha-Hashem. Hashem is always metaphorically smelling our karbanos. U'mordechai hu bechinas ha-reach. And what do we know about Mordechai? His name is a name of smell. Mordechai is named for besamim, as the Gemara explains, besamim rosh mor dror, pure myrrh, one of the spices of the Ketores. The Targum translates mor dror as mari dachya, Mordechai. Mordechai is a spice. Mordechai is a smell. Shehu bechinas tefillah. In other words, Mordechai's whole being is tefillah. So therefore, if re'iyah is usually used to see Torah shebichsav, and shmiya is used to hear Torah shebal peh, and dibor, sound that one makes, one emits, is used to convey Torah to others, not by Mordechai. Mordechai's whole essence is smell. And therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, by Mordechai we find that all of the other senses are also tefillah by Mordechai. Lachain amru shayu kol bechinas halalu betfila. He's Ya'ir. Mordechai ben Ya'ir. Ya'ir means tfila. Shehei reinam shel Yisrael. His re'iyah, his eye, was tfila. His ears and his ability to be heard, shema Hashem tfilaso, shmiya, tfila. Kish, how did Mordechai express himself? Knocking on heaven's door. Mordechai had the ability to open the gates of heaven. Dibur, tfila. His whole being was tefillah. Everything about Mordechai, he was kulo tefillah. And that's why Mordechai, of all the tzaddikim, he wasn't the only tzaddik of the generation. There were other righteous people of the generation. But we needed someone whose whole being, his whole embodiment of his whole character was tefillah to bring salvation to Klal Yisrael. You have to understand, when Haman made his decree, it wasn't just scary down here. There was such a tumult in Shemayim when Haman made his decree. The Satan came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tried to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu to also write a letter calling for the destruction of Klal Yisrael. The Medrash says there were 18,500 Jews who went to Achashverosh's party. And while they were feasting down below, the Medrash says that the Satan went to Hashem and said, Hashem, you're going to allow this to go on? So Hashem says to the Satan, well, what do you want me to do? Destroy the Jews. How could you allow this? So Hashem says, okay, it's not a bad point, but what's going to be with Torah? Torah? The heavens will study Torah. What do you need people? Look, they don't practice Torah anyways. They're not serious Jews anyways. So give your Torah back to Shemayim. So Hashem says to the Satan, all right, you have a song I can write on? So he says, bring me a scroll and I'll write it. Okay, so the Satan brings a scroll and Hashem says, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. Say my Haman's writing down below, Kodesh Baruch Hu Kiviyachu is signing off on Klal Yisrael to the Satan in Shemayim. And you can imagine what type of ruckus that made in Shemayim. Says the Medrash in source number 9. Miyad yatsa Torah v'bigde almanus. The Torah itself put on the clothing of a widow. V'nasna kola b'bchi. And the Torah started to scream and to cry lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'gam malachi asharei tzavku l'kol b'chi asa. And when the angels saw the Torah crying, guess what? All the angels in Shemayim started crying also. V'amru l'fan av ribono sh'olam. Im Yisrael b'teilim min ha'olam. If you destroy Klal Yisrael, lama anu tzrichin ba'olam, then what do we even need a world for? Bishvil Yisrael shenikra reishis, bereishis, bishvil Yisrael. We're the purpose of creation. The angels, the Torah, screaming to Hashem, what's going to be? Kevan sheshambu chamu v'levan akach, when the sun and moon saw what was taking place, asfu nagam. They gathered in their light. They started turning off the lights on the world. This was the end of the Bria. Ba'osa shah. So who comes running? Rots Eliyahu zachar leto bebala. Eitzel avos ha'olam. Eliyahu sees what's happening and he comes running to the avos. Eitzel Moshe ben Amram. He comes running to Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'amar lehem, ad masai avos ha'olam redumim b'sheina. Ve'i atem mashkich malat tzara shebeneichem shuriyin ba. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, wake up, pay attention. Don't you see what's happening? Don't you hear the angels screaming? Don't you see the sun and the moon giving up basically? Aren't you going to do something about it? So they say to Eliyahu, Mipnei Ma, wow, what's going on? Which is a good question on that Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Ches about whether the dead know what's going on in this world. It sounds like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had no clue what was happening. So Eliyahu fills them in on what's going on. They ate from the Suda. Well, if they ate from the Suda, they deserve to be destroyed. That's it? You're giving up on Klal Yisrael like that? Eliyahu runs to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Moshe, I need your help. Moshe says, what do you need me for? There's no tzaddikim down below. Is there anyone down below? Can anyone help me? So Eliyahu says, there's one. There's one for sure who can help you. And his name is Mordechai. Says the Medrash where it's bolded, Lech v'hodio, Moshe tells Eliyahu, go tell that Mordechai, Kedei sheyamod hu misham b'tfila, tell Mordechai, Moshe. Moshe says, Mordechai and I are going to daven together to save Klal Yisrael. Go tell Mordechai to stand over there to daven, v'ani mikan, I'll daven up here. He'll daven down there. Unevakish rachim aleim lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll be able to request mercy from Hashem. Amar lo, Eliyahu said, Roa Naaman, don't you realize, Moshe, you have to understand how serious this is. Don't you realize kvar nichtava igeres klai al Yisrael? Don't you know it's already been written? So Moshe says, tell me, was it written in blood? Or was it sealed? Was it sealed with like a cement seal in tar? So he says, it's not written in blood. No, God forbid, it's not written in blood. Well, if it's not written in blood, then it can be overturned. Go tell Mordechai to do what he's got to do. And Moshe Rabbeinu handpicks Mordechai from amongst all the generation. When the Avos HaKadoshim themselves, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, said it's too late. Moshe, who knew how to daven to save Klal Yisrael, said, if there's someone down there who can so to speak, be me, then I can help. And Eliyahu Navi is sent to tell Mordechai, Mordechai, do your thing. And concludes the Medrash, Mordechai yada es kol asher nase v'yikra Mordechai es begadav. Mordechai tears his clothing and begins to scream and to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see that Mordechai's whole being, the whole turning point of the Megillah, is Mordechai's ability to daven. It's at that moment that Haman is giving Mordechai a ride on the horse, that another pasuk, the very last words of Moshe Rabbeinu in Chumash, the last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu says in the entirety of the Chumash, is Va'ata Abamosemo Tidroch. You will trample their high places. Amalek represents that gaiva, that haughtiness that needs to be trampled. And as Haman bends down, as Mordechai climbs on his back to get on the horse, and the Gemara says he gives him a swift kick. Says the Medrash in source number 10, this week's Parsha, says the Medrash, Va'ata Abamosemo Tidroch. You know what Moshe had in mind when he spoke of trampling the high places, trampling the enemies? Bimei Mordechai. Shenemar v'yikach Haman as levush v'sasus. Mi garam l'Mordechai levo l'idei gedula azos. How did Mordechai become so prominent? How did Mordechai take out such a powerful Haman? Look at the words of the Medrash. Amar shahayim ispalel b'chol shah. Because Mordechai davened and davened and davened and davened. He was davening all the time. He was Ben Ya'ir, he was Ben Shimi, he was Ben Kish. His whole essence was davening. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm in the world of Emes. I need someone down there who can do what I used to do, which is save Klal Yisrael from complete obliteration. And Mordechai is selected for the job. He is davening b'chol shah. It doesn't just mean he's davening all the time. But perhaps what it means is like the Torah says by Kayin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to Hevel, ve'el Kayin ve'el minchaso lo sha'ah. Hashem didn't turn to Kayin. Sha'ah means to turn. Mordechai was davening b'chol sha'ah. Mordechai davened at every turn. Mordechai, every move he made, there was a tefillah involved. It wasn't that Mordechai stood all day with a sitter in his hand. But Mordechai became tefillah. Like David Melech says about him, ani tefillah. That every turn, a whole shah, every move he made, expression of tefillah. And by the way, we don't have time to elaborate on it now, but Esther is exactly this way. Esther's whole being, Esther's also Hadassah, she's besamim. She's also Rech, which is tefillah. The Vilna Gaon says, if you look at the Pasuk, it's not on the page in front of you, but the Gaon says, on the Pasuk it says, Vatosef Esther v'tadaber v'tilvateich v'tischanein lo. The Vilna Gaon says, each of those phrases refers to a different part of David. Vatosef Esther is Psuke de Zimra. Vatidaber is Kriyashma. Vatipol, and she fell, is Tachnun. Nefilas Apayim. Vateif, she cried, is Tfila. Vatischanin lo, Tchina, the extra Tfilos, Elokain Itzor, after Shmona Esri. Vatokam Esther is the Ashrei at the end of davening. Vitamod is Kedusha de Sidro, we call Uval Etzion. Every move Esther made was also Tfila. Mordechai and Esther were Kulo Tfila. And that's why they were selected to be the saviors of the generation. But now we go back and we ask the question, what is it about tefillah? What is it about tefillah? Mi goy gadol. Who is the great nation? The pasuk that the Rambam started, Rav Masna, the Gemara taught us. What makes Klal Yisrael so different about tefillah? The nations of the world also daven. There's people who are not Jewish who pray plenty. And some of them pray even more than some of our own. So what is it about the Jewish way in tefillah that's so unique? Why is the Rambam highlighting that the Megillah expresses this unique connection to tefillah? There's a famous comment from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav explained that there's two things that are different about our tefillah. We have the concept of tefillah b'tzibor, and we also have this awesome superpower called the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim. Why he brings that into this Rambam is a good question. There's a lot of questions on this Brisker Rav. It doesn't satisfy us. We don't feel that that's the difference, that we have tefillah b'tzibor and that we have Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim. Those are two very big things. But we don't see Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim in the Purim story. And we don't necessarily see tefillah b'tzibor. We're highlighting the efforts of one Jew, Mordechai's unbelievable tefillos. Yes, everyone davened, but Mordechai was the one who was davening the whole time. So what is it about the tefillah in the context of Purim again? And what is it about Jewish tefillah in general that sets us apart? So I want to explain to you something based on the Ramchal. Based on the Ramchal and several passages in Derech Hashem, it's not on the page in front of you, but the Ramchal explains essentially like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring things down to the world. There's a shefa, there's a certain impression, there's a certain influence that Hashem wants to bring to the world. And we have to ask for it to get it. And the Ramchal explains in the Derech Hashem, that's true for all beings. Anyone who wants has to request it, has to bring it down from Hashem. But the difference between Jewish prayer and non-Jewish prayer, from a Torah perspective, is that whatever is destined to come to the Umas HaOlam, that's set, that's been determined in Shemayim, and there's nothing they can do to change it. They can daven and they can bring it down. The chiddush of Jewish prayer is that we have the ability to actually rewrite the story, to be able to actually influence what's been decreed on high. That's unique to the Jewish experience. That takes having the ability to rise above whatever has been decided in heavens, to rise above the heavens. But that's exactly what the Jewish people do. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, in source number 11, Rabbi Yochanan and Rav both say, Ein mazal Yisrael. When Avram Avinu looks at himself, and he even looks to the stars, and he says, this is my fate, this is how it has to be. And Hashem says, no, it doesn't. You can be above mazal. You have the ability to rise above the heavens. You're not bound by the constellations. Ein mazal li Yisrael, Rashi explains on that Gemara, that That Ein Mazal Yisrael means that through tefillah, we're able to mishtana the mazal. So in other words, yes, Yesh Mazal Yisrael. If we choose, we could play by mazal. We could play by the natural order. Or we could become the Jewish people and rise above it. And that's what happened in the most remarkable way on Purim. B'derach HaTeva, there was no way we were going to survive. Haman was as powerful as can be. Achashverosh ruled the entire civilized world. There was no salvation in sight. And yet somehow we rose above it. And that's what the Megillah is coming to teach us. The Megillah is an expression of Ein Mazal Yisrael. Yes, we have mazal if we choose to operate that way. But we're not bound to it the way the rest of the world is. We have a koch of tefillah that takes us above. That's what the Megillah is expressing. It's interesting. The word Megillah is actually one more in Gematria than mazal. Mem Gimel Lamed Hei, the way that it's spelled in the... It's really spelled without a yod. Sometimes we spell Megillah with the yod also. But Mem Gimel Lamed Hei, it's spelled in many Siddurim. You'll take a look by the brach of Birchas Kriyas Megillah. Mem Gimel Lamed Hei is one more than mazal. It's 78. Mazal is 77. In other words, Megillah takes us beyond mazal. It takes us beyond. We're not bound. Mi goy gadol. Who is this great nation that we can continue to renegotiate with HaKadosh Baruch? We're not bound to the way that it's previously been written. Whereas the way Rav Dov Zinger from Eretz Yisrael was just in America, you should get his new book on tefillah. As he writes in the introduction to his Sefer on tefillah, he says it's like a person who's watching. Tefillah is like a person who's watching a TV screen, and whatever is happening, until you realize it's a touch screen and you can actually change things up a bit. You could choose to change the image. You can be involved in what's being displayed before you. You're not just sitting there watching a show. That's what tefillah is, the ability to change things, to renegotiate with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And with this very explanation, we understand why the Yom Tov is called Purim. Everyone wants to know, why is the Yom Tov called Purim? Purim is this minor detail. It's one little thing that Haman did as part of his plan to kill us. He made a lottery. So what? He drew lots. So what? Says the Vilna Gaon in source number 12, V'karu Purim al Shem HaPur. Because you know what a lottery is? A lottery is chance. L'fisha zehu ikar ha'nes. The ability to overturn the lottery through tefillah is what the whole story is about, says the Vilna Gaon. Shehu hipil pur gora l'fia mazalos. Haman was trying to figure out what is a good day according to the mazal to try to destroy Klal Yisrael. Be'ezel yom yachol l'natzeach osam. V'nafal yud gimel adar. And Haman had many reasons based on the mazalos why that was a perfect day. Elisha kadosh baruch hu hafach as mazalos. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned it all inside out, upside down. And he did that through our tefillos, Ein Mazal Yisrael. Because when we daven Megillah, the Kriyas HaMegillah is a tefillah to take us above Mazal. And the whole thing was turned upside down. Ki Apur Nepach L'Purim. What looked like a victory for them turned into a victory for us. V'zeu Neis Gadol Mod. And to be able to rewrite a script that's already been written, both in heaven and in earth, to be able to overturn the whole thing through the tefillos of Klal Yisrael, says the Vilna Gaon, that's an awesome thing. So now we go back to the Rush. We raise the question, what's the story with Tanis Esther? How are we even allowed to have such a Tanis? But my friends, Tanis Esther is not a sad Tanis. The Archos Chaim in Source 13, he's a Rishon from the late 13th century, early 14th century, Rav Aaron HaKohen Milunil. He says, Tanis Esther is allowed because it's not a depressing Tanis at all. Tanis Esther is a celebration of the fact that you can talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and he listens to you. That we can break through all of that Hester with our tefillos. And now we finally come back to our opening question. We asked at the beginning, what is it about the tefillah of Purim that Dafka makes Purim this holiday of tefillah? There's many tzaros of Klal Yisrael's history. Many times we davened. Many times a Kadosh Baruch Hu responded. Why Dafka Purim? The Vilna Gaon explains the pasuk in Shir HaShir. In Shir HaShir, we lament the fact, Al tir'uni sha'ani shcharchores. Please don't look at me in a bad way because I'm shcharchores, because my skin has become darkened. A dark skin was a sign of a person who was a poor person. That when you spent a lot of time working in the field, you weren't able to live a life of luxury in the palace, so to speak. So don't stare at me, Hashem. Don't think badly of me because my skin has become darkened. Shishazafasni hashamesh, that I've been burnt by the sun. Bnei imi nicharubi, my brothers quarreled with me. Samuni noteras akramim, they made me watch the vineyard. V'karmi shali lo natarti, and I wasn't able to take care of my own possessions. I'm too busy taking care of other people's possessions. The Vilna Gaon explains this pasuk. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, it was a time when it was very, very easy for us to feel that we could rise above the stars. The Gemara says, when Jews rise up, we rise to the stars and beyond. When we fall to the dirt. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, it was easy for us to feel that, of course, tefillah works. Ki beisi beis tefillah chol ha'am. Tefillah works even for non-Jews in the Beis HaMikdash. But when the Beis HaMikdash fell, and that's where Purim's taking place, in that period of Chorban, it's very hard to believe sometimes that tefillah actually works. So al tira'uni shanish charchores, we're all embarrassed. We're darkened by our sins. Shchora ani v'na'ava, as it says in Shir HaShirim. I'm darkened, but yet I'm still beautiful. And you know why we're still beautiful? Explains the Vilna Gaon. Because when we had a Beis HaMikdash, the lines of communication were easy, they were open. And you might think that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, everything's over. But guess what? There's a way to still break through, and that's called tefillah. That even without a Beis HaMikdash, the Vilna Gaon explains, nonetheless, Ein Mazel Yisrael, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, Ein Mazel Yisrael was a given. In the time of Chorban, yes, we're bound by Mazel until we choose to rise above it. And again, that's why Megillah is one more in Gematria than Mazel. Megillah, the whole story of Kriyas and Megillah is how we transcend the Hester Panim through Tefillah. And therefore, in the final source, the Gemara wonders, Esther min HaTorah minayin. Where do we find the hint to Esther in the Torah? Literally the scariest pasuk in all of Chumash. The pasuk says, V'anochi haster astir panai. Hashem says, I'm going to hide my face from you. The pasuk shot in the pasuk is Hashem saying, I'm not going to listen to your tefillos. But the Chiddush of Megillah Esther is Hashem, even when you're hiding, and even when your name is nowhere found in the Megillah, and even when we're living in a period where the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, and it's getting so bad that Ahasuerus is wearing the Big Day Kahuna and using the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash for his own party, sending a message, there's no more Beis HaMikdash, there's no more tefillah, there's no more communication. Nonetheless, Dafka in that moment, Megillah Esther, we reveal the secret that tefillah works then as well. Mi goy gadol, asher lo elokim krovim elav. B'chol kareinu elav. Karov Hashem l'chol karov l'chol asher yikru be'emes. And the Megillah is called Divrei Shalom ve'emes. So we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Kriyas of Megillah. We spend the whole day of Purim davening, whether it's formal davening or informal davening, opening our hearts to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Megillah rises us above Mazel. It restores that relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the secret of Purim that sometimes gets lost in all the busyness of the day. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to be like those Mordechais, like those Esthers, like those precious Jews. When we come on Monday, reminding ourselves that tefillah actually works, even in a time of Hester Panim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer all of our tefillahs, and we should be zochet to see the Beis HaMikdash once again. Pray lechem Purim. Do we have people who want to daven Marv right here, right now? We have 10? Close to 10?